This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi and welcome to everyone who's joining us today. Today I am sitting at my home, sipping on some iced water here, and I have Meredith Curtis on the line, who's in her home about 3.5 hours north of where I live, northwest. I have to think, Meredith, if I said that. No, northeast.
Northeast, yes.
Yeah, and so we are sitting in our homes, and we're coming to you live. And we're going to discuss a something that I know stresses a lot of people, and that's attending a homeschool convention, especially if you're new to homeschooling. That is something that some people warn people away from. If you're a new homeschooler, I wouldn't quite be go to that drastic means, but I do know that a lot of people go to conventions and they have not planned, and therefore they can be overwhelmed. So Meredith, you and I have both homeschooled for many years, and those who have listened to Lunch with Meredith and Felice know that both of us have are friends, and we both have written some books that are helpful to homeschool moms. And just to recap, in case somebody is just joining us live for the first time, Meredith, why don't you share a little bit about your years of homeschooling and where you are right now with your kids?
Gladly. I started homeschooling in 1991 with my oldest daughter, who is a homeschool graduate. She actually got her master's degree and worked for several years as a professor at UCF. I have been homeschooling all the way through all the kids since then. I have a graduating senior, and then my youngest son is in 10th grade. So I've had three who've already graduated and gone through college. My third daughter is graduating from college the same weekend my fourth daughter is graduating from high school. So we have had a very long journey, and it's been awesome. And we have done a lot with unit studies. We have done some classical learning. We have done some traditional type of learning. We've used Apologia textbooks. But mostly we have used living books. We have done a lot of classes that are completely built around living books, and we read. And we also have done more of a mentoring discipleship type model with our children in mentoring them in the Lord. So that has been a great joy to our family,
wow,
is homeschooling.
Wow. And, that just is amazing to me because, I have a similar type of story. I have five children, and three are graduated. I just graduated Nick this year. And then I've got, out of those three, two are adults, and Christina's homeschooling her children. And she graduated from college, and Neil went into the workforce, and Nick's going into the workforce for now. And then I've got two more that I'm homeschooling that are both teens. I have a 16-year-old and a 13-year-old. So we're definitely entrenched in the high school years and SAT prep and all of that stuff again. And so it is really fun and enjoyable. And I have to echo what you shared, Meredith, because we've done all of those things. Unit studies, very much in-depth, I would say solely K through 7 to 8th grade. We did an awful lot of unit studies. And then we kind of inched more toward traditional with some textbooks. But for certain subjects like literature and even history. We don't use textbooks at all, and we use what you call the living books, or I call real books. And then we create our studies around those. And so, you know, when you go to a homeschool convention, as you can hear, Meredith and I have some experience. And, you know, conventions can be great for those who are starting out, and they can also be encouragement for those who are veteran homeschool moms. And, you know, but we're going to concentrate today on the homeschool conventions for people who are fairly new to homeschooling or just have a few years under their belt and that are looking for some help in that way. And also I want to mention, for those of you who go to homeschool conventions and maybe can't afford a lot of the seminars, I know that they're selling for quite a bit now per seminar. And so I have the Ultimate Homeschool Expo, and if you go to Ultimate Homeschool Expo, you can see the very recent expo that we have, as well as if you go to mediaangels.com, you can see other past episodes there. And that has, you know, hundreds of hours of talks from many of the, you know, popular homeschool convention speakers, including Meredith and many more. And so that is a savings for those who can't get to conventions, because I know some can't. But Meredith, we're going to talk to the moms today that are, you know, really wanting to get the most out of going to a convention, and they're stressing about it. I've talked to some people in the past that would come to a booth where I was a vendor, and they just are overwhelmed. I could see it in their faces, poor thing.
Oh.
And so, you know, I've been on both sides, as you have as well. You know, you attended many years. In fact, that's how you and I met.
Yeah.
You came to one of my sessions at a state conference where I spoke, and you know, within years we were good friends. And so, you know, you've seen both sides, and you have some key points that you're going to share, and I am going to share some as well. And, of course, as usual, they dovetail.
Yay.
I think God worked that out. Yay. And so you're going to share some key points. And the first is you're going to share about scheduling, prayerfully plan your itinerary ahead of time. So why don't you share about that, Meredith?
Okay. What I have learned to do, we live here in Florida with probably one of the biggest conventions in the United States. And Felice is right. Our church host finished while a homeschooling high school convention. And Felice, I met Felice speaking at the Florida Homeschool Convention. And it is huge. And I had never been to a convention when I went to my first Florida one, and it's much bigger now than the first time I went. And I was completely overwhelmed because it was so big. And I have run into people, you know, when I've spoken at different conventions, who they'll say, oh, I'm so overwhelmed, it's so big, especially the new homeschooling moms. So I would say this. Get the itinerary of your convention with everything online now. You can usually download it. I wouldn't just look at it. I would print it, and I would circle, you know, the things that you're interested in, and in each hour block. And that's always something that I did. Sometimes workshops are offered twice, so you might see a workshop and really want to go, but there's something else you want to go to, and then find that one of the workshops is offered at a different time. What I usually do is I pick two from each hour that I like, and because sometimes I've gone to a session, and when I'm in the session, I realize, oh, I don't really like the session. I'll just quietly slip out the back door and go to the other one that I had chosen. What I do, though, is I pray. I'll just take that list and, you know, read over it and circle things, but I'll just kind of have it in my quiet time for about a week, and every day just pray over it and just say, Lord, what on earth, you know, what on earth do you want, and where should I go, and what would be good. And sometimes I've actually had two things circled, but then by praying over things, Just felt like the Lord didn't want me to go to either one that hour, but he wanted me to go to something completely different. And so it's just, I really have seen that work in my life. And then what I'll usually do is say, okay, what are my needs right now? Because a lot of times the first thing you think is, oh, that looks awesome, that's amazing. But, you know, if you are effectively teaching your child to write, you know, maybe a writing session isn't what you need, but maybe, you know, your child is really struggling in phonics. Maybe that would be the kind of session you would want to go to. And just realize, you know, now I think for most conventions, they have marked if it's a vendor,
vendor one,
or if it's a, you know, just a teaching one, because, you know, there are sessions where it basically it's an hour-long sales pitch. And that's not to say you shouldn't go to that, but just realize that it's a sales pitch. But a lot of sessions at homeschool conventions, even though the speaker might be selling their product, they'll be really teaching the principles. And I know there are times that I'll share with people, you know, I've written a murder mystery curriculum, and I'll talk about it, and I'll say, okay, you know, there's also other curriculums that you can use to write your own novel, and I'll mention Konos, and I'll mention the one-year novel adventure, because my heart isn't that everyone in the room rushes and buys my murder mystery curriculum. My heart is really to serve homeschoolers and for them to find what's going to be best for them. And so I think that, you know, that can make a difference with your speaker who you choose to go to. So
very good. And so, you know, what you've found then is to, you know, either you can fine tune and go to a session where you, you know, need some help, or, you know, realize that there are different types of talks out there. And I know for the most part, I have given vendor talks at conventions, and I tend to do teachings as well. And I know at FinishWell, Meredith, excuse me, I did the same thing that you did with, you know, teaching a topic and then, you know, giving some examples of product that's available that I've used in particular. And so those are some of the things that you can do. And I'll share my number one key point, you know, which is prayer, of course. And, you know, I really like to fine-tune what our goals are as a family and as a homeschooler, because I know that for us, you know, we want stuff that is, you know, it's going to point to Christ. You know, you can't always have that, like, for example, in a math book. You know, I know that there are some that are by Christian publishers, but, you know, we want to have that as our main focus and goal. And I did a recording for the Vintage Homeschool Moms that I asked a question, what type of homeschooler are you? And are you a, you know, is homeschooling what you do or who you are? And the difference, I talk about the differences in that. But, you know, when we school at home, it's for more than just the goal of academics around here. And so I keep that in mind, and that's in the back of my mind as I'm looking for curriculum. And I have to say, you know, as I'm ending my journey, of course I have the older children that have already graduated. Meredith, other than maybe a math curriculum, I really haven't purchased anything because I have so much from the past.
Right.
And, you know, if there's something in particular that I want, you know, I may just get that book. But for the most part, you know, we really are using a lot of things that I've used in the past. So that is one of the pluses when people say, well, how can you afford to homeschool that many children? You know, unless it's a book that we haven't liked, and I've sold, you know, or given to somebody else, you know, we tend to use a lot of the same books. So I think that does help to really, to pray and focus in on what is it that you're looking for in curriculum. And also, you know, to have that in the back of your mind. I love what you said, too, about printing out the itinerary and schedule, because that does help. It really does.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Meredith, you have some curriculum as well that helps parents, you know, like in how to homeschool. Why don't you share some of those? books that you have.
Great. I do. I have several books that I have just written down all the things I've said over the years to parents, because there is no way you can sit down and have coffee with every single person who wants to ask you, how do you homeschool and how can you be successful? So I have several books. One book is called The 7 R's of Homeschooling, and it basically is the idea of keeping the main thing the main thing, and that, so it covers reading and writing and arithmetic and research and rhetoric and right living and relationships, and it just goes into, you know, how you can apply that in your home school. Then I have a very thorough book, Joyful and Successful Homeschooling Volume 1 and Volume 2, and that really just covers it all, from how to manage your home, how to choose curriculum, what kids should learn when, and it talks about even shopping, you know, at a homeschool convention. It talks about homeschooling different levels, all the different philosophies of education, how to teach, how children learn, what are the different learning styles. So that is a very thorough book. And I've had a lot of first-time homeschoolers buy both volumes. So Volume 2 goes into each subject in your homeschool and how to teach it and makes curriculum suggestions. So those books have gotten a lot of very positive feedback from first-time parents who, you know, just have all these little questions, and it's answered in the book, and they've really been encouraged. Another book I have is called Quick and Easy Unit Study Fun, and it takes you step by step in how to create a unit study. And one of my favorite things about this book, because you know I love books, is that this book is cram-packed with book lists. So it's also cram-packed with unit study ideas, but a lot of people have told me who have bought that book is the price was worth it for the book lists and the book suggestions, but that just goes step by step from the planning to the finale and to recording and remembering it. And then the last book I have is Unlocking the Mysteries of Homeschooling High School, and that book covers all the ins and outs of credits and transcripts and planning your high school years and how to take advantage of things as they come up, having a flexible schedule. And so that is another book that I've had a lot of all of these books I've had a lot of positive feedback, but it's very, very helpful for them and practical. These books are just basically they're by a homeschooler who's made mistakes, had successes, and just passing on what I know to other homeschoolers to help them in their homeschooling.
Oh, I hear you about the making mistakes. We've all been there. And that's the thing, you know, when someone gives you their research in a book list, that is invaluable, and it is really, you know, worth the price. And it's good to know that you have all that together, Meredith. That's great. And so, you know, your second point for those who are considering going to a conference is to research, to check out the books and curricula. So would you recommend that they do that a little bit ahead of time or when they get there?
Well, I would say both, but I think best things to me about the homeschool convention is the actual exhibit hall. And you know, if the exhibit hall opens, you don't have to go to workshops every single session, but I would definitely take advantage of walking through the exhibit hall and just looking at different curriculums, talking to different people. One thing that you do find in an exhibit hall is you find people from all kinds of different philosophies of education. So you've got the classical homeschoolers with their Latin curriculums and their formal logic curriculums, and you've got unit study folks, and it's a really great time to just pick up material, look through them, and, you know, ask questions by the people who actually wrote the curriculum. And so I think that, for me, is an invaluable part of my homeschooling experience, and that's how I met Felice. I was at her booth, and I was talking to her, And I just felt, you know, wow, you know, she and I have so much in common and I can learn so much from her. And I'm just, you know, I was very grateful for the interest you took in me. And so I think, you know, for me, that exhibit hall experience has been such a blessing. And some of the conversations I've had in the exhibit hall with vendors have had as much or more of an impact on my homeschooling than the sessions even themselves.
Yeah, I can echo that. And when I first attended, it was such a blessing to get to meet some of the actual authors. And you know, then it wasn't just a company that was representing, you know, the different booths. And at first, you don't know that as a homeschooler. And I know a lot of people that met us would look at our name tags and then look at our books and say, oh, my gosh, you're the authors, and not realize it. And, you know, so that's a, you know, a bonus. And I also, you know, say be prepared for, you know, where you're researching and checking that out. I say to be prepared. And I would look at the different philosophies, and Meredith, your books you recommended that you wrote are excellent. And also, you know, know what you're looking for. So if you go for it with a list, like if you're looking for a math curriculum for the year, you know, just hone in on that. Find out, you know, you can get the layout of the vendors hall and find out where those people are and just, you know, plan to do that and plan to visit those sessions. And I agree that, you know, because I always, you know, I always think, well, you can always hear the talk later, although I will tell you from being on the other side and maybe not having the most popular talk or having, you know, you're up against quite a few people when you talk at a homeschool convention. There's usually big tracks and you've got five or six people. You know, speakers like you to come to their sessions. And many times speakers will also offer something during the talk that isn't out, you know, they're not going to, you may not know. So maybe a discount coupon, or I would always, you know, give away some free books for people in the audience, depending on how big the room is. If it's too huge, you really can't do that. And then also give you links and things for where you could hand, you know, print out the handouts and that kind of thing. So it's good to attend, but it's not always necessary, especially if you have a small amount of time. And also in the being prepared, I would say as much as I love my children, and I really didn't attend when I had little ones. So, you know, if you're a nursing mom, then you definitely need to bring your kids with you. But this is one of the times where I would leave the kids home. Or even if they're coming to the conference, you know, have your husband or someone else who can take care of the kids, because it's a time to really focus in and you can't really concentrate with the kids there. You know, I know families do it because they don't have any options and, you know, they don't have anyone who can watch their kids. And I'm always, you know, my husband and I have never attended together because we're in that camp where, 1 year we did bring my mom and dad, and they watched Nicholas when he was younger, because I really started writing when I had my third child. In fact, I was pregnant with Nicholas, and I had a fourth and a fifth. And so, you know, I'm amazed that, because I thought I had my two children, Meredith, and I wasn't having any more children, so now it was time to start my writing career. And then God blessed me with three more. But I always say I had built-in babysitters with the two older ones. That, and then, you know, Christina and I actually wrote books together. So, you know, we all helped out. And my parents came with us 1 year. So that was a real blessing because they could stay with, you know, our little ones. And we kind of made a vacation out of it. But that's one of the things I'd recommend. And then the other under being prepared is, you know, if you have address labels, because a lot of times there'll be mailing lists to sign up for. And I would say just sign up for a lot of things. You can always unsubscribe later if it's something you don't want. But if you have an address label or you have, you know, your name and your email, that helps a lot because then you don't have to stop and write it down. you can just take your label and put it on the list. Or if they have something that they're giving away, you can stick the label on the little paper and go on your way, and that makes it go quick. And then something to carry your book. I remember one year I decided I was going to buy a lot of games. I don't know. I like fun things, Meredith. And to this day, I think we have every game out there that has some sort of academic flavor. But, you know, the grandkids have really been enjoying it. In fact, they were upstairs the other day, and they found a Narnia. I bought them the Narnia CDs for Christmas, and my son-in-law thanked me, and he said, you know, he was really happy to have a little change from Adventures in Odyssey. So they were enjoying the Chronicles of Narnia. Well, I didn't even know we had a Narnia game. The kids found it, and we were missing one of the, I think we were missing High King Peter. So Mikey quickly created one out of Legos. you know, we've had all these games, and they just looked fun. And so I went and bought all these games, and I had to keep going back to the car because I had not provided for, you know, buying games. And I have to say, it took us, you know, years to maybe even open the boxes and play any of them. So, you know, if it's not on your list, I'm not really good at that. I'm more of an impulse buyer, and that's why I love Meredith's number three. But, you know, I thought it would be a great thing, and then I didn't really use it. So I know that was a lot of money that could have been used for other things, and I ended up using him for something we didn't use. I have to say, too, with books, there were very few that I didn't use at some point, because I think with books, especially at conferences, if you have a specific thing that you're looking for, like, for example, creation science books, you're not going to find that at the library. So right. I think that those are the specialty types of books that help build your library, and that's really, really good. And one of our guest is posting, and we'll be right there. Gay from Alaska said, Meredith and Felice need to come to our two conventions in Alaska. So she put the links in there, and that would be great, wouldn't it, Meredith? We can go to
Alaska
and go to conference.
That would be awesome. Not in the winter, though, right? Not in the winter?
One is, I believe they're in April, yeah. And I know a lot of conference goers go to those. But let's take a question. And before we do, though, I want to let those of you listening that you can visit Meredith's website, and the probably easiest for me to tell you is meredithcurtis.com. And on her site, she has a link that can take you to all of her books. And also, she runs a conference, the Finish Well Conference, in Orlando each year, and that will be coming up. She does that once a year. And then you can also visit me at mediaangels.com, which is my website, and it has my books and curriculum, as well as the links to the Ultimate Homeschool Expo that has, you know, basically a convention in a box where you can hear many of the authors and speakers at homeschool conventions share on our convention. Well, Meredith, what is your number three?
My number three is the money one. It's to make a budget and stick to it. And I find the best way to do that is to bring cash, to decide, okay, you have $200 to spend at the convention, and you bring the cash. Because if you use the credit card, I don't know, some people have amazing self-control, but for me, I go way over budget if I just stick with the credit card. But if I bring cash and put it, you know, inside my pocket, or, you know, inside my purse, and I have to stick to that, because when the cash is gone, it's gone. So, and again, I'll just be honest, I've always spent between about 75 to 80% of my homeschool budget has gone to purchasing good books. And Felice is right. Like, she has a murder mystery series that my kids loved, creation-based. Master Books has beautiful books on all kinds of science topics that are, you know, reading books. Answers in Genesis, same thing. And all kinds of good history, historical fiction. All of those things have been the real blessing to me as a homeschool mom, because my homeschool library, I've always wanted to have a library where my kids can just say, I feel like reading about this, and they can go through the library and find it, and all stuff from a Christian perspective. So I would encourage you to consider not necessarily buying expensive curriculum, but buying lots and lots of books.
Right, I agree. And, you know, I was thinking, too, of, some of the ways that I've overspent, you know, when we talk about budget. And I think part of it was not being prepared for how good some of the speakers are. Some people are just really good at selling. And so I get sucked into, you know, I've got to get this book right now because, it's the best thing since sliced bread. And I always tease one of the speakers who actually is a really good friend of mine now, but he had a curriculum and I went to buy it. And so, you know, I was asking him, well, which book should I start with? And he said, oh, you should buy all of them. And I said, okay. And I did, you know, and so I later teased him and I said, you know, you didn't even talk to me about it. And you just told me to buy all of them. And he goes, I actually remember you doing that. And you know, we just laugh about it. And you know, he says, because he never expected that I would. But I'm just, you know, I would think of, you know, these people are the authorities, and we actually did use the series, but, you know, I would say we don't ever use books the way they're designed and curriculum impaired, you know, and we put our own twist and flavor to it. And that's one of the things I would recommend, that, you know, you do that when you purchase your books. And then thanks to Meredith for the shout out with our novels, the Truth Seekers Mystery Series, you know, are not going to be available in the library, but they are available at conventions. And Hal and Melanie Young are carrying them. They're going to a lot of conventions this year, and they also have a show on our network that you'll want to check out. And it's called Making. Now, of course, I forgot it. I want to say Making Family Life Biblical, or something like that, or Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I knew it was something along those lines. So, you know, they're carrying all of the books and they go to a lot of conventions. So that's, you know, something that is, you know, only going to be available at conventions. But there's a couple of really good suggestions in the chat room, Meredith, and then I want to go to questions. But some of the suggestions were, one of the moms says she brings a bag with a seat in it, and that is really helpful for her back. And so if you have any, you know, of those types of issues, that's important to make sure. I always carried extra water bottles because I'm always thirsty. And the conventions typically have water, you know, ice water freely available. But when it gets to the end of that weekend, there's none to be found. You know, it gets really, really difficult. So you want to, you know, keep an eye out for that if you, you know, just keep hydrated because you don't want headaches and that kind of thing. And then Denise said she invested in a plastic crate last year, and that helps, too, to carry books around and things like that. So,
oh, yeah, those are great.
Yeah, I still have mine. Oh, and don't forget a sweater. That's very good. Yeah, that is very good to have a sweater because usually the rooms are freezing, and especially for those of us in Florida with our by the time it gets to be convention time, it's already warm, and we've gotten acclimated to the warm weather, and then you go into the convention hall and you freeze. So those are
that
all really
true.
Good things.
That is great.
Yeah.
And, you know, something that I was going to say, too, about conventions is sometimes you end up meeting people, especially at the state conventions, from cities or towns you would never, ever, you know, see them or meet them, but you can end up with some special friendships that every year you meet for coffee, you know, one day during the convention. So the more you cover things in prayer, I think the more God just delights to bless us and give us little surprises because he loves what we do in educating our children. And his heart, I think, is to refresh us. And I always pray before I go to a convention, Lord, refresh my spirit and, you know, give me, you know, equip me, train me, teach me, let me learn something new. So I think God loves that heart, and he delights to answer that prayer.
Well, I think that's wonderful, Meredith. And you're right. You know, there are those little surprises. And through the years, I've gotten to be friends with some of the speakers and authors, and we've done the same thing, that we've met for lunch or dinner as we've been able to. And I don't attend a lot of conventions, and you know, but there are a lot of people that do as speakers, and so they do that too. They network and they say who's going to be here or there, or I was supposed to go to a convention with Carol Topp this year in Cincinnati, and she was having a chili supper at her house the night before the conference for anyone who got there the day ahead of time, because
aww,
people are unloading and everything. Yeah, it was really, really fun that she was going to have that. So, you know, they are, that those kinds of things are just blessings. And there's, I call them little perks, you know, to what we're doing. Well, my number three is to discuss and to talk to different people. And I would say, you know, I'm going to call them loosely experts and the authors. I know that a lot of times, and this happens, you know, very, very often, that somebody will recommend a book, like a friend or, you know, an acquaintance will, you know, in your homeschool group or someone you know will say, you know, this is just like, it's the best thing. And, you know, I bought that thinking it will be, but it doesn't fit my family. So a lot of times if you can talk to the people that are there and, you know, that have a booth, and just discuss a little bit about what your issue is. For example, one year my daughter was struggling with fractions. So we just went around to the different math vendors, and we asked, you know, she asked the question that she was having difficulty with. And finally, one of them explained it so well, and it turned out we had that curriculum at home. So, you know, I know, well, you know, it was from the year before, but I wasn't sure I was going to use it with her, because, you know, she'd struggled with a different curriculum I had used. And so, you know, it worked out really well for us. So, you know, that's something you can do. And, you know, one size doesn't always fit. You wish that you could use the same book for every child, but, you know, you were sharing that with me, I think, this year, that didn't you get a tutor for one of your children?
Uh-huh.
That just wasn't getting it in math, that's always worked with everyone else. So,
right,
you know, I think, right, think that that, you know, helps, and it just bears saying, because, you know, you can discuss it with, you know, your husband and with your friends, and that's great, and it's really beneficial, but sometimes that doesn't work for your family, and I think that's what you have to look at.
No, I agree. I think there's so much wisdom inside that exhibit hall that can be, and everybody is willing to answer questions. You know, I answer questions when I am in when I have a booth in an exhibit hall that have nothing to do with anything that I'm selling, because I think, like most homeschool, you know, writers of curriculum, they homeschool and they really have a heart to pass on what they've learned and help you. So,
right. Yeah, a lot of them are. And I know that we've had some sponsors for this network that just have a heart for homeschoolers. My brother-in-law is one of them, and we have a history curriculum really geared for high school, but younger kids have taken it as well. And also, you know, some math curriculum that tablet class, which I was really impressed with the way they explain different problems, and it's really affordable. And he was a teacher for many years and has now, you know, taken the time to write this. So it's amazing what is out there now, and we're going to be bringing you more and more of those sponsor interviews on the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Show, and that link is on the front of the website page. let's go to questions. And one of the questions, one of the comments was, I've gotten away from recommending any curriculum unless I know the child's learning style and the mom's style. Sometimes people think it works for that family and should work for mine. And she said, there's no cookie cutters in homeschooling. Oh, yeah. Isn't that the truth? That would be easier if there were. Okay. Well, we've got a question here, and it's, I've discovered that the isolation I experienced being a stay-at-home mom and living in an unsocial location, that I experience anxiety attacks now when attending conventions. Any advice for overcoming this besides deep breathing? There are lots of people, busy kids, bad lighting, cramped spaces, yuck. So how can we help her out here?
Well, I do understand that, because that is, to me, crowds are overwhelming, especially when they're packed in a tight space. So I would say go to the go to the exhibit hall at the quietest times. And you can find that out by asking the people, you know, at the convention, when is the quietest time? Usually it's very early in the morning. And look for times that are quieter. Don't feel like you have to be sitting in the midst of the crowd. A lot of times at conventions hall there, you can find little places, behind a hallway or up a flight of stairs that just might have a few chairs, and you can kind of get away from the big, big crowd. And I know that I know they're there, because when I speak, I go look for those places to kind of go over my talk one last time before I, you know, give it. So I know that I've never been anywhere where I have not been able to find those little hidden places. So kind of maybe if you know where the convention is, you can get there early and scout out, or while you're there, scout out. A good time is when everyone is in a session. You can kind mm-hmm. of walk around and see what's there. And I'm not sure that there's anything abnormal with you. I think most people can be overwhelmed with crowds, especially when they have their children with them and they're trying to corral their children and keep them out of people's way. And, you know, it can be overwhelming. So I would say just realize, you know, it's normal to not really love crowds, and attend the smaller sessions. You know, if you know there's a session in the ballroom, a ballroom is really big. It's probably going to be a really big session, so look for the smaller ones to attend.
Right, and I think that's a great advice, that a lot of times when there are sessions going on, that's the best time to look at the convention hall, and a lot of parents do know that. So you'll find them browsing when everybody else is in the talk, and then when people, you know, get out from those talks, then they'll just go, you know, and get something to drink and take a break, and you know, and that helps a lot too. And you know, I know the convention that you host, Meredith, you have a really nice cafeteria area that there's tables in the middle, and the vendors are out around the edge. So it really gives a nice place where people can just sit and look and talk, and it's just a little bit more of an intimate conference than some of the huge conferences that go on. So that's another option, is if your area has a smaller convention, to maybe attend that one. You might not get as many curriculum selections, you know, that would be available, but it will help you just to get one under your, you know, underfoot, and then go from there. And, you know, I don't like crowds either, so I totally get that. And it's always difficult for me, especially even as a vendor, to go to a convention for the first time if I haven't been there before. Afterwards, then it's nicer, you know, and at least you know what to expect. And I think that's part of the anxiety that you're feeling, is you really don't know what to expect. So, you know, if you can get some of these bullet points that we've talked about, you know, looking through the schedule, doing some research ahead of time, knowing exactly what you're going there for, you know, more than just browsing. I've had friends or I've had people coming to the conference that don't yet have kids or expecting kids. I think that's so cute, Meredith. I get such a kick out of that. But, you know, and they're there to just browse and look around, and that's great. You know, they're just collecting
information. Yeah, I love that. It's cute.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, you can't always be that prepared, you know, but, you know, if you have little ones, just make sure it's not, you know, at a time where they're really, really tired and you're trying to look through things, because that is a recipe for disaster for both you and the child. So,
right.
You know, that's. But I'm just delighted that we had the time to do this session, Meredith, and that we could share some of the things that have worked for us when we're attending conferences. And I just think it's a great timing for this, because there are so many conferences happening this time of year, and really and truly it's such a blessing to be able to go and, you know, get with like-minded people. You know, you're going to find all types of personalities there, but for the most part, you're going to find a lot of people that believe, just as you do, that parents are the first, you know, instructors for their children, and that the Lord has given us that desire to school our children at home, and it is a God-given right. And that's what we look for when we go to these conferences, is to have, you know, a little bit of camaraderie with not people asking me, so why do you do this? but just kind of to build up, you know, the body of Christ.
Exactly. I agree. And Felice, it has been really great being here and talking and sharing with people. And I hope everyone out there, as you go to the conventions this summer, and I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time, and that the Lord really leads you through some great divine appointments with people who can encourage you, and you're able to get some good deals. I really, this is just, can be such a blessing, and I hope it is. And so,
yeah, that's
you.
One of the things that we didn't discuss. I think there has been so much, but a lot of times at conferences you can get convention-only specials, because I know I do that with my book. So
I do too.
Good reason to go. Well, Meredith, God bless, and I look forward to talking to you next month. And those of you listening, tune in to Meredith's show at Finish Well Radio Show, which is the first Monday of each month. And there are always amazing talks with that radio show. It's geared for teens, so please bring your teenagers, listen to it live, get it through the RSS feed or iTunes. And just go to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.com and look for the Finish Well icon. So thanks again, Meredith, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Felice. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.